This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold Golden and Gregory.
Welcome to Energy Matters, a show about how you can save money on your utility bills, use technology wisely, and live a more sustainable lifestyle. Here's your host, veteran energy regulator and clean energy expert, Commissioner Tim Echols.
Thank you, Scott Slade. It's always great to be saving money on that power bill, using technology wisely, and living a more sustainable life. Hey, welcome to our show today. In studio with me in my beloved Athens, Danny Johnson from Georgia Power. Danny, how's it going?
Going great. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
And Alan Shedd with Oglethorpe Power. Alan, how's it going?
Great, Tim. Great to be here.
Well, guys, you both work in the utility business, and we kind of just say that, but it's so much more than just delivering power. Danny, let's go to you first and the energy assistance team that you head up. What's your week like typically as you work for Georgia Power?
Thanks for the question, Tim. My week is really, my team and I travel across the state and we work with community action organizations, faith-based organizations, and nonprofits. And our primary focus is really trying to help customers who are in need and are concerned about their utility bill, their utility cost. And what we try to do is really be the facilitators. We try to facilitate customers to organizations that have funding. We also try to educate them on our programs, products, and services, our 7 residential rates. And our primary goal is really to build a safety net for customers who are in the limited to moderate income space.
Alan, you've worked for a number of EMCs and for the conglomerate, Oglethorpe Power, that's probably not the right word, but the EMCs have some creative rates too. Is it a challenge helping members understand what this rate means, what that one does, and giving them advice and what they should go on?
Well, of course, you know, anytime you have choice, you need to figure out what those choices mean and what it means to you financially. You know, fortunately, you know, our EMCs are all about member service. You know, we call our folks members, not customers, because they're part of the electric cooperative. But, you know, we're all about helping them make smart decisions that save them money. So if there's a better rate available, you know, we're happy to talk with them, work through their rate with them to figure out if that makes sense.
Danny, the prepay rate that we have, about 80,000 customers, I think, on the rate, enabled by these smart meters that people have that signal the mothership about 6 times a day, I understand. But the magic about these meters is that when a person is disconnected, they can make a payment and they can be back on in 30 minutes, right?
That's correct. It's really an important tool for us to have in the field. Not only are they able to get the service restored typically in less than 30 minutes, but it also helps customers learn to manage their energy costs. It gives them that control to be able to say, if I'm going to put $25 in on my prepay account and my usage is for $5 a day, well, you know you can go from Monday through Friday with $25. So it's been a really important tool for us to introduce to our customers. And if we can get the supply chain issue resolved so that we can get the chips, then we can grow that program even more to a larger scale.
Danny, I remember I had been lobbying my colleagues and Georgia Power to eliminate the convenience fee, the credit card fee that was charged. It was $250, I think, back in the day per transaction. And I was wanting to get that removed so that a prepay customer that's making 4, 5, 6 payments a month at $250 a whack, that's $15. That's a lot of money. How important is not having that convenience fee there anymore to helping these customers save even more?
So you're right. We did eliminate that convenience fee, and the goal of that is really to have that $15 help the customer keep the energy going, not pay it in a fee. So we, as a company, absorbed it. It's important because, again, our primary goal is keep the power on, keep the family in their homes, keep the kids in the same school system, and eliminating that fee enables us to do that.
Alan, just like Danny's traveling the state, you've been traveling the state too, and you're talking to EMCs, their members, and technology guys that work in these EMCs about electric vehicles and emerging technology. What kind of response are you getting as you travel across the state? Is there areas that are more interested? And how's all that working out?
Well, as you would expect, Tim, a lot of it depends on just what you see on a daily basis or what kind of questions you get. Obviously, EVs are all in the media now. We see stories about that every day. But no surprise, we have higher deployment in the metro markets. The EMCs that surround Atlanta, you know, certainly have more EVs on their service territories. But if we look at EV deployment across the state, we are seeing a lot of growth in more rural parts of the state, southeast, southwest Georgia. So, you know, the technology is growing, the interest is growing, EMCs are adding them to their fleets to gain practical experience. But it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, the adoption of EVs is going to be, you know, somewhat organic. It's going to mature in its own time.
Danny, as you travel the state, are there pockets where there's extreme poverty, where businesses have left and people are still there and they've lost their job and they're being retrained or they don't know where to go? Are you seeing pockets across Georgia like that?
Absolutely. There are pockets that exist. And what we're trying to do to make sure that we address those pockets, we have a senior citizen discount program that allows customers who are 65 years of age or older to receive $33.50 off their account monthly. In addition to that, we have a program called EASE, which is Energy Assistance for Savings Efficiency, that a customer who is in need, that may need some improvements in their home, could get up to $5,000 in energy efficiency or energy related changes inside their home. And we also have a program called Hope Works. So we're trying to address those pockets that you just mentioned by making sure that we offer programs, products, and services that lift the community as a whole.
Alan, you helped me install a Sense device on my home, and I got an alert last night that I had hit the largest peak that I had ever used in my house, and it was at 10 after 11, when you would normally think that wouldn't happen, but my wife had come in from a late meeting. She plugged the electric car in. My daughter had just showered and then was drying clothes,
right,
and heating up some food in the microwave.
And it was a cool night, so you're...
And it was a cold night, and my furnace was on, but the Sense device, you know, allowed me to see, wow, that's quite a spike. And I think any customer benefits from understanding what's happening with the energy in their house.
Without a doubt. I mean, I'm an energy geek. I really get off on being able to look at that information, whether it's from my smart meter that like George Bauer and our EMCs have, or from a more detailed device like you're describing with the Sense device. Information's power. Understanding how we use energy, where it goes, you know, helps us be better consumers. It's a little difficult when you pay your power bill once a month. You're paying that bill for energy you used in the previous month. So there's not a direct correlation there. That's why some of these, you know, pay-as-you-go type programs where you can, you know, just pay for electricity as you use it helps the consumer understand that energy consumption a lot more accurately. Obviously, if you're looking at using solar, for example, you know, that's an expensive energy resource. So using it more effectively is really important. Having an understanding of where that power goes, how much energy does your water heater use? How much electricity does your electric vehicle add to your monthly bill? It's significant, but it's far cheaper than buying gasoline.
Danny, as folks take advantage of the EASE program and they do energy upgrades to their house, do you find that a lot of customers maybe have an older HVAC system or an older, a furnace, or what are the issues surrounding some of the customers' homes that's causing their bills to spike?
So it's a really good question. 53% of our homes built in Georgia were built before energy codes were introduced to the state. So that in itself really leads to the fact that many of our customers are living in energy efficient or not inefficient homes, not energy efficient. So if we can get in and help customers with insulation, air ducts, and really try to help them understand, if you put a blanket on a hot water heater, that will make a difference in your house. Seal the cracks in your doors and in your windows. that will make a difference. So it's about educating the customer, making them aware of all of the options that are available in the low, in many cases, the low cost to adopt those options.
Just the last minute of the segment here, what energy efficiency advice would you give for the average homeowner?
You know, I think as Danny pointed out, there are a lot of low cost and no cost opportunities to do that can really save energy. Air sealing is probably the biggest return on your investment, but it's also lifestyle changes. You know, understanding that, you know, turning the lights off when you leave, turning that TV off, or unplugging your game console. There's simple things you can do that can make a big difference. You don't have to spend a ton of money. Certainly those things help, but start with the simple things first.
Well, when we come back, a conversation about renewable energy, about solar energy, big solar, how it's impacting the state of Georgia, a special guest, a developer who's developing solar across Georgia. Alan will help me have a conversation with this. Maybe you're interested in solar. You can contact your EMC or contact Georgia Power in order to find out more about how to put solar on your house. I've got it on mine. Alan, you've got it on yours?
I do.
And it's something that really can make a difference. So stick around. It's Tim Echols. You're listening to Energy Matters. Hey, Tim Echols here for GEM Car Wraps, GEM Car Wraps, this fantastic group out of Brunswick that do wraps on vehicles, jet skis, golf carts. They've got it on my vehicles, so check it out, GEM Car Wraps on Facebook.
Gas South believes in the difference we can all make, like the difference in putting people first and showing that you care. For us, our difference is saving people money with our best rates and no deposit, and the difference we make in our community by taking care of our friends and neighbors and giving back 5% of our profits to help children in need. Learn more about what makes us different at GasSouth.com. Gas South. The difference is good.
Logan Booker, producer of Energy Matters, here for Better Tomorrow Solar. Imagine a world powered by sunlight. Imagine your home powered by sunlight. Better Tomorrow Solar has a passion for helping you see this for yourself. Better Tomorrow Solar can install your solar panels at no upfront cost. Build equity in your own home rather than paying the utility company. Find out more at BetterTomorrowSolar.com. That's BetterTomorrowSolar.com, and see how you can make your world better.
This episode of Energy Matters is sponsored by Arnold, Golden, and Gregory, an AmLaw 200 law firm with 180 attorneys in Atlanta and Washington, D.C. They take a business sensibility approach when advising clients. They provide industry knowledge, attention to detail, transparency, and value to help businesses and individuals achieve their definition of success. AGG subscribes to the belief not if, but how. We thank John Gornall and all the attorneys and staff at AGG for sponsoring our show. Tim Echols back on Energy Matters. Alan Shedd with me. Alan, we're going to talk about solar and big solar in this segment.
Sounds great.
Yeah, on the phone with us, John Whelan with Leeward Renewables. John, how's it going?
Going well. Thanks for having me, Tim.
John, you guys are in process of building a lot of solar across the state, almost a gigawatt of solar, almost 1,000 megawatts. That's a substantial amount of energy, about the size of one of our nuclear reactors. So congratulations on moving these projects forward.
Well, thank you. We are very proud of the development work we're doing. Those projects are not yet in operation. Still plenty of work to do, but we look forward to at least having a few of those projects operational by 2026.
Alan, we got more and more big solar. Green Power EMC has a lot serving our member-owned EMCs, and solar has been really good for the Georgia grid.
Absolutely. You know, it's one of the least cost resources we can build right now, but it also helps, of course, decarbonize our power supply. A good mix.
Hey, tell us about some of the projects, John, that you've got going and how they benefit the communities you serve in.
Yeah. Well, we have plenty of projects that are in operations in other states besides Georgia, and those projects are providing substantial economic benefits to the communities in which they serve, by the way of property tax payments, by way of direct, indirect, and induced economic benefits from the operational labor, not to mention during construction, very substantial economic benefits. And we hope to provide those same benefits in the state of Georgia once we start construction on those projects. That's on the economic side. But in terms of the land use, we feel solar is a land use that is quite passive and mixes well in agrarian settings and with the agricultural community.
Alan, I know I've heard from Taylor County as well as Twiggs County about the benefit of big solar and how that it grew their tax digest with really nothing that they've had to spend on it. No police protection, you know, no health care, nothing. It just sits there making money for these counties.
Well, you're right, Tim. And in many cases, you know, these larger solar installations, utility scale projects are going into fairly rural parts of the state where they don't have a lot of industry. Tax base is pretty limited. So having something that contributes on a daily basis, pretty predictable, is a great boon to the local economy.
John, when you think about a rural area that's far away from a power plant, I mean, is there some grid benefit for the community to have, you know, 100 megawatts or 50 megawatts right there in their backyard? Are they going to realize some benefit from that?
It's hitting the state grid. And the benefit is that it's going to be lowering the marginal cost of energy at that point in time. Now, how that is passed on by the utility to the customers, that is in the hands of that utility. But there is a benefit of solar in these local rural communities.
Alan, I remember December 23rd, 2022, 8 degrees in Georgia. Every resource we had was going. And when the sun came up and hit that 8,000 megawatts of solar across our state, it was some needed relief on the grid.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, that peak happened before the sun rose. How inconsiderate of it. But yes, once the sun came up and we're generating electricity, you know, that is significant, you know, on these hot summer afternoons when we need additional electricity. That solar power is making a big difference. It is intermittent. I mean, obviously on a cloudy day, we're not getting as much. At night, it's not doing anything for us, of course. But, you know, it is, as I mentioned before, it's an important part of our total generation mix. The fact that it's integrated through our transmission system across the state, you know, what's generated in South Georgia can benefit all of Georgia.
Yeah, John, as you think about some of the challenges in building solar, obviously, can you take us through the steps of developing a project? We may have folks listening, and maybe that they think, well, maybe my land would be suitable. What's some of the things that you have to go through to build a big project?
Great question. Well, first and foremost, what we're looking at are good injection points of the energy on the grid. So we will conduct a transmission assessment to evaluate where we believe the best spots for interconnection would be, resulting in the lowest cost of interconnection, network upgrades, as well as the least amount of congestion on the system. From there, we overlay other factors such as land use. Is the real estate in the area of the target injection point flat enough for developments? Are there any threatened and or endangered species that we need to be concerned with? Are there any cultural resources, et cetera? And so we'll overlay all of those key constraints, and we'll identify the optimal locations and start having conversations with the landowners. And if we find that there's receptivity, we begin to move forward and finalize the real estate agreements and start working with the community at that point, speaking to local county commissioners, speaking to neighbors, and really presenting what we believe to be a win-win opportunity to the community, but all the while listening with an open mind to, you know, hear what their questions or concerns may be regarding the prospective development, and then being there to address those concerns. In certain instances, there may be concern regarding view shed. The project location may be adjacent to a very visible traffic location, and the community may want us to install some vegetative buffer. So we'll do that. So we really come into the communities after we've selected these prospective sites and are advancing development as partners. And we're long-term owner-operators, and we want to get off on the right foot and make sure that the development at the end of the day is a win-win development.
Alan, Green Power EMC really acquired a lot of solar down in Jeff Davis County and Hazelhurst. It seems like John said, flat land, cheap land, proximity to a substation, and often a county tax abatement really has been the secret sauce.
Well, true. You know, it would be great if we could build solar closer to the highest need for the electricity around Metro Atlanta, but land's quite expensive. You know, these are large installations. So if we're looking to site one, obviously we like a fairly large piece of acreage. Flat land's better. South Georgia's great because it's easier to build the sites. You know, you're not dealing with rock. You know, the foundations are pretty easy to put in there.
Hey, John, the last couple minutes with you, how can folks find out more about your company and about, you know, about doing big solar and what the impacts are, what the benefits are?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, they could go to our corporate website, www.leewardenergy.com. We have plenty of information on there, some FAQs, that'd be the first step.
And Alan, how can folks find out more about Oglethorpe Power and Green Power EMC? And maybe they live in Georgia, maybe they want to, you know, talk to their EMC about their land, or maybe about even doing solar on their house.
Well, so the best place to start is your EMC. If you're a member of an EMC, talk to them. They're really the best point of contact. So go to their website, give them a call on the phone. You can, of course, also go to greenpoweremc.com for more information about the programs there. But in general, yes, you want to work with your local cooperative, you know, to learn more about the programs that influence you directly.
We have such a need for energy over the next 7 years. We need the equivalent of about 6 more nuclear reactors of energy. We've got so many people moving to the state, you know, hyperscale data centers, crypto mining. We've got factories that are building electric cars. And so we're really excited that you guys are coming and that you're, you know, taking such care and developing your projects.
We love the state of Georgia. We are excited about that economic growth that you all are seeing in the state. And I think it really is a virtuous cycle, Tim.
Well, thanks a lot. Hey, stick around. Coming up, Clay Jones from the Georgia Manufacturers Association will join Al and I in studio. You're listening to Energy Matters.
Everyone has tough times in their life. By checking the Project Share box at the bottom of your utility bill, you can make life a little easier for your neighbors. Your $1, $2, or $5 checkoff is matched by the utility and then used by the Salvation Army to help folks having a tough time paying their energy bills. It's that easy. Join PSC Commissioner Tim Echols and many others by donating via your power bills this year. See more by clicking ProjectShareInfo.com. And thank you.
Tim Echols, host of Energy Matters, here with Jeff Pratt of Green Power EMC. Jeff, more and more EMCs are offering solar to their members, and you're seeing it grow like crazy across rural Georgia.
Tim, you're right. Co-ops in Georgia are doing a great job of deploying solar across the state. In fact, they're leaders in the country with respect to engaging customers and deploying large-scale solar to benefit all their members.
Hey, contact your EMC and ask them about their solar energy policy, or just Google Green Power EMC.
You've heard about Gem Cars on Energy Matters. Made by Polaris in Anaheim, California, these street-legal, small electric vehicles go where golf carts are not allowed. Equipped with seatbelts, headlights, optional doors, and a tag, Gem Cars and Trucks are perfect for shuttles, corporate, or college campus use. In fact, Georgia Tech has over 100 of them. The new generation Gems have many options when selecting the battery type, onboard chargers, and enclosures to suit the climate. Go to GemCarService.com to find out more. That's GEMCarService.com.
Marlin Gas Services, a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, is your leader in mobile pipeline solutions for hold, peak, and backup services to meet utilities' demand schedules, and their experts in CNG and RNG transportation and logistics solutions. No pipeline, no problem. Marlin Gas Services can provide uninterrupted natural gas service for short or long-term projects, no matter the location. Learn more about how we can support your mobile natural gas needs at marlingas.com/energymatters. That's marlingas.com/energymatters.
Hello, island friends. Let me tell you about Tim Echols. Mr. Tim loves Georgia and helped keep our rates low. He knows everything about energy and has led by example. I hope you listen to his radio show called Energy Matters. Join me in supporting Tim.
Hey, Tim Echols back on Energy Matters. Special guest popped in, Clay Jones with GAM, Georgia Association of Manufacturers. Welcome to Energy Matters for the first time.
Wow, thank you for having me, Tim. I really appreciate it.
And Alan Shedd, my co-host for this episode. How's it going, Alan?
It's great, Tim. Great to be back.
Well, Clay, you guys are living in Athens now. How do you like being up here?
Well, it's great. I grew up here. I moved here when I was 5 years old back in 1977, so I'll let you do the math on how old I am. And grew up here, went to Georgia Law School, and went to Atlanta. Was there for about 25 years, and last year we decided to move back home. And so we now live here in Athens, and I work out of here. It's great.
Alan, Clay worked with a lot of manufacturers that our guests would know their names, big carpet manufacturers, airplane manufacturers, trailer manufacturers, and these heavy users of energy, they are very important. They're interested in reliability, but they also do a lot of job providers around our state.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we rely heavily on those manufacturers to keep the economy rolling, and for us as energy providers, obviously these are key accounts for us. We value that relationship. We want to keep the lights on, make sure they've got the energy they need to function.
Clay, how did GAM get started?
Well, actually, it's started in 1900 as the Cotton Manufacturers Association at the time, and later became the Georgia Textile Manufacturers Association, which it was until about 2007, 2008, about a year or two after I got there, when we started to realize that the work we were doing from an advocacy role was really benefiting more than the textile industry. It was benefiting all manufacturers. And quite frankly, the textile industry in Georgia, as you know, saw some reductions, obviously, through the 90s and beyond. And so we changed our name to Georgia Association of Manufacturers and represent all manufacturers across the state.
You know, textiles may have diminished, but wow, it seems like car manufacturing and anything related to car manufacturing is growing.
It is incredible. Anybody who drives down I-16, you can see the Hyundai plant there. It's like a whole new city being built. Kia, of course, before that, and with the EV revolution and all the battery producers coming here, it's a very, very busy, exciting time.
You know, customer choice and the Territorial Act, you know, started to try to make it easier so that we're not, you know, tripping over each other as utility providers. So depending on where you're located, you know, as a residential customer, you don't have a choice of power suppliers. You're served by the utility that serves that space. But to encourage competition and encourage industry, large loads that have a load over 900 kW connected load have that one-time choice of power supplier. So as a result of that, you know, there is some pretty good pencil sharpening to make sure that we can deliver, you know, a good price and a good service to those industrials.
Clay, this policy that we have on customer choice, how important is it, do you think, for us landing some of the factory jobs and manufacturing jobs that are coming?
Well, I think it's a big part of the arsenal we have here in Georgia. We're very very lucky to have incredible resources in our state, incredible infrastructure in our state. And then when people come and they look at Georgia, they say, you know, look, if we're going to build here, or quite frankly, Tim, if we're talking about expanding operations, not just new manufacturers, but ones that want to keep jobs here and build and grow, the price of energy is an absolutely critical component. And so it is a huge advantage for a new company coming to Georgia to say, hey, I can take a competitive bid here and maybe get a little bit better in terms of what I would get if I didn't have a choice.
Alan, just down the road, Walton EMC, they've been pretty aggressive in reaching out and competing on this and landing some really big jobs.
Sure. One of the famous ones, of course, is Facebook, now called Meta. But, you know, they wanted to locate a data center here in Georgia. Walton EMC competed for that. And a key aspect of that was being able to supply 100% of their power requirements with renewable energy, solar energy specifically. So, you know, Walton and you know, the other EMCs in Georgia sort of stepped up to the plate to make that happen.
Clay, are you having members ask you about green energy, about solar energy, about carbon-free energy? Are they asking these questions, or do they just want energy in general?
Oh, no, they're asking the question. Absolutely. In fact, it's funny, we're having this conversation today. We have an energy council within our association that met this morning, and this was a major topic of discussion, actually. We have members who have sustainability goals. They have carbon reduction goals. Some of them, quite frankly, are owned, you know, there are a few of them that are owned by European companies that send mandates down and say, well, how are we going to meet these needs? And I know Oglethorpe and Southern Company and others have decarbonization goals. So, and it was exciting to be at the commission yesterday and hear y'all talking about this RFP that's going to be going out. It'll be the, you know, the largest solar RFP in the history of our state. You know, we think it needs to be done in the right way, in a competitive way, and Georgia's been doing a great job of that so far.
Alan, you know, you think about the big wires, the 500 kV wires on the steel towers that are out there, and this transmission system is really joint owned. Our utilities, while they may compete for new loads, they work together a lot too, don't they?
Absolutely. You know, we talked about competition, but really when it comes to serving the customer, you know, all of the utilities are in the same boat. You know, we're there to make sure we have reliable, affordable, you know, electricity. The state transmission grid, as you said, is jointly owned with Georgia Power, the electric cooperatives, City of Dalton, and the Municipal Association. So we all work together to make sure that the infrastructure is there to support these large loads and consumers as well.
Just joining us, that's Alan Shedd with Oglethorpe Power. Clay Jones here with the Georgia Association of Manufacturers. As you think about our reserve margin in Georgia, I got a call the other day from Jigger Shaw, who's head of the loan office up in D.C., and he said, you know, Tim, I know y'all are proud of your nuclear plant, but let me tell you, your reserve margin is allowing you to be a magnet and attract businesses to your state. Other states are having to say no, and Georgia's able to say yes. I mean, do you agree with that? And how important is the reserve margin?
Well, I think, you know, the reserve margin, this gets a little technical, but of course, you know, it's an issue every time we go before to the commission. And sometimes you want it. There are advantages to having it a little higher and advantages to having it lower from a cost perspective. The way that Georgia has managed that, not only on the Georgia Power system, but on the others, to make sure that we've got the available capacity to serve this new load is absolutely critical. And you know, we're facing a situation now where every state state, particularly in the Southeast, as it continues to grow, is facing, as you know, increased demand, increased load growth projections, and we're going to have to find ways to serve these companies so that they can continue this growth we're seeing.
Alan, when you don't have a need for growth, I think oftentimes R&D and maybe novel forms of energy, you can't really afford to do them. But we've got this mammoth load of energy in the queue, and I wonder if it's going to give us a chance to deploy some emerging technologies.
Certainly. You know, when we look at how to meet that load and how to bring more renewables that traditionally are intermittent in nature, how do we take an intermittent resource and supply that in an effective way to serve a load that's 24/7? You know, we have to be creative. We have to employ some other technologies, energy storage, principal among them, to be able to store that sunshine during the day so that we can keep the lights on at night. So I think there are several emerging technologies. There are certainly off-the-shelf technologies that we're relying on.
Clay, as you talk to your members, as your organizations grow, what are some of the things that they're asking you all? What are they asking you to speak to commissioners about and speak to the utility about?
Well, I mean, I think from an energy perspective, we have seen some increasing cost pressures, and I think what our members continue to ask us to do is to make it clear how important energy usage is. And if I could go a little bit off energy topic, I just because it really all relates to each other, the number one issue they're facing is workforce development.
Mm.
And making sure that, and that's something that I guess, all industries are looking at right now, but we really need, a very strategic approach to how we're going to supply all these jobs. And we're working on that. We have a full-time person working on that. We've got efforts we're making with others around the state to try to address, the labor shortages we've got. But from an energy perspective, I think what they're saying is, look, we've seen some increasing costs lately, but if we can manage those over time, if we can continue, and if I can compliment the commission, if we can continue to do what the commission has done over the last several years and make it an attractive state for business, then that's going to be critical as well. And the truth is, energy is always going to be important. And the decisions we make, and sometimes they're challenging ones. I know you have to make them all the time. You think about Plant Vogtle and what that's going to mean for our state. We're just very thankful that we can have that vision to look ahead and say not just what works right now, but what is going to help our state grow in the long term.
Now, just another 30 seconds in this segment. Alan, workforce development, you heard what Clay said, and I mean, we're hearing that the nuclear workforce, that the nuclear fleet needs to triple in the U.S., and that means more workforce. I mean, where do we find all these people?
We've got to grow them from the beginning. We need to really ramp up education in areas of STEM, for example. Critically important from elementary school on through the system, the technical colleges, and also making it attractive for people to go into trades. Going to college is a great thing, but sometimes, we need tradespeople as well.
I think we need to, if I can just add to that, I think we've got to change the perception of some of these jobs too. There's a perception that everybody's got to go to a four-year college, or that some of these jobs are, from a manufacturer's perspective, if you go into modern manufacturing plants, it's a totally different situation.
Well,
now,
maybe we can find our perspective in some 70s music. Stick around, the hippie segment coming up with these two guys. We'll see if we can relate energy policy to your favorite 70s songs. Tim Echols, you're listening to Energy Matters.
As the Southeast's leading non-utility power provider, Cherry Street Energy energizes businesses like Porsche and Gulfstream in cities like Macon and Atlanta with predictably priced emission-free electricity. We build, own, and operate solar power plants for our partners, allowing them to deliver on sustainability promises with no complexities, upfront costs, or ongoing maintenance. All they get is a power bill, simple as sunshine. To learn more, contact us at info@cherrystreetenergy.com.
Tim Echols of Energy Matters here for Solar Sun World. No doubt you've seen solar panels popping up all over the state. If you want the precision of German engineering when it comes to solar, Solar Sun World is for you. Gerd and all the folks at Solar Sun World understand the complexities of solar and how to make it work for you. From tax credits to inverters to accelerated depreciation, they'll advise you on the best path forward. And Solar Sun World now offers power purchase agreements. Find them at solarsunworld.com. solarsunworld.com.
Hello, Commissioner. I feel like it's very important that I occasionally let you know that I really appreciate the job that you do and your commitment to solar energy and electric vehicles. It really makes me happy, the idea of our wonderful state having more and more solar. Just, it really excites me. I really love the job you're doing. Anyway, thank you. Have a great day.
Hey, back on Energy Matters for our famous hippie segment with Alan Shedd and Clay Jones. Clay, I've been promising you to put you on the hippie segment. You excited about this?
I am. My parents were hippies, and so I'm just really proud to do this for them.
Yeah. Well, Alan, you know how this works. We play a 70s song, and our audience can listen and kind of think what energy policy it relates to, and then we'll give our opinion here. So let's go to our first song.
Got this feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed.
Stuck on you. I tell you, you know, when I hear that song, besides it being a romantic song, and I see myself slow dancing in the gym in eighth grade dance, but, you know, I'm stuck on baseload power. I just can't get off of baseload power and the importance of baseload power. You know, Alan, I have many EV friends. I'm on my seventh EV, but I tell people, look, we can't electrify everything on the planet and close baseload power plants. We got to have it.
Well, we do. You know, we love renewable energy. It's a great addition to the system, but the sun doesn't shine at night. So, you know, we need baseload power. I thought you were going a different angle with this when you say you're on your way. I thought we were going to talk about electric vehicles, but I'll let you take the lead on this.
Hey, Clay, what comes to your mind when you hear this Lionel Richie song?
Well, first of all, it's just when I had the eighth grade dance or whatever, I was thinking about baseload power too back in the day. but growing up a little bit, I think about nuclear power. I'm really thinking about nuclear power these days. I think, you know, there's a lot of challenges to it, but I'm stuck on the idea that that's going to be just an absolutely critical part of our future. To meet these decarbonization goals and provide that baseload power.
Alan, you stuck on anything?
Well, I'm stuck on the need that energy is part of our life. You know, we need it, we rely on it, and we all have a role to play in using it efficiently, effectively, cost-effectively. So it's not just a producer problem, it's a consumer problem too. But we are stuck on the need to have that.
Yeah, that's right. All right, here's our second song. See what you think. Walking on sunshine. I mean, that first part of that first stanza when she said, "Baby, I thought I knew you, but now I know you." That happened with me with solar. Right, I did the Solar Express. I thought I knew a little bit about solar. I'd put solar thermal on my Athens house here. But the more I got to know it and the way that we were doing it, and that we didn't need to copy California or New York or the way that they were doing it there, that we needed to do it in a different way. I got to know it and I kind of fell in love with it. Alan, how about you? What comes to your mind when you hear Walking on Sunshine?
You know, you're right, Tim. We've been through a long road here of, you know, developing solar as a resource. Walking on sunshine. Well, I wish we could. You know, I think it's an incredibly valuable thing. I use solar, of course, on my house. I look forward to the sun coming up so I can see that energy meter start to spin.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Clay?
Well, that was, of course, a hit by the great, it might be a one-hit wonder, Katrina and the Waves. So what I was thinking of when I heard the song was, I started thinking about Hurricane Katrina. And I started to think about, what about energy reliability and what about grid reliability? And how do we make sure that we're going forward with the solar revolution and we don't fall on our face? Because what we want to do, and what I think Georgia's done a great job of as compared to other states, is to grow our renewable portfolio in a way that is allowing it to flourish while maintaining reliability for the customer. Because at the end of the day, if we go too quickly and we have a reliability event, that's going to hurt the future of renewable energy, and we don't want that.
Alan, when these storms come through, while the rest of us are, you know, seeing if we have flashlight batteries and whatnot, the utilities are staging food and tents and toilets and catering and trucks and supplies and moving employees, not just from this state but other states, to these man camps, I call them, so that when everything goes down, they can start the restoration process.
Absolutely. You know, fortunately, we have better technology to predict where these storms are going, where they're going to hit, and we don't wait for the storm to show up to start getting ready. We pre-position people. But it's a Herculean effort. You know, there are a lot of materials it takes. When you think about how many poles get broken as a result of a storm, all those have to be replaced. All those wires have to be restrung. It's a big effort. But, you know, that's where we all come together as utilities to make this happen.
All right, let's listen to our third song. And you play along and see if you know what energy policy the song relates to.
I'm growing tired, and time stands still before me. Frozen here on the ladder of my life. Too late to save myself from falling. I took a chance and changed you in.
It takes Elton John forever to get to the chorus of that song.
He's got a lot to say there.
Yeah, he does have a lot to say.
Love Sir Elton.
You know, yeah. Elton John just not too long ago sold his condo that he had in Atlanta.
I know. I was just driving by it the other day, and I thought about that. Yeah. He was a great presence in Atlanta for
yeah.
so long.
Yeah. My mom made me take piano lessons, and I remember learning to play Philadelphia Freedom, which was one of his songs on the piano. I was a big Elton John fan. Alan, what was your first concert that you ever went to? Can you remember a concert, Clay? You remember the first one you went to?
Well, I do shows in clubs count? Because when I was growing up here in Athens, my stepfather was in bands here, and so I kind of got into some of the bars and saw early REM shows and early. But I would say the first big concert I probably went to was, you know, U2 Joshua Tree tour.
Wow. Yeah. How about you, Alan?
Probably my first big concert was Emerson, Lake, and Palmer at the Omni.
Nice.
But, you know, Alex Cooley's Electric Ballroom.
Yeah.
Seeing Jimmy Buffett play at a little dive bar in Atlanta. I mean, it's Atlanta has quite the music scene, and so does Athens, of course. Yeah.
I went to the America concert at the Omni. That was my first one. Well, when you think about this song, which we never heard Elton John sing the chorus of this song, "Don't Let the Sun Go Down," I think about, you know, just the intermittent grid and just the grid in general and how fragile it is. It seems easy for folks just to turn on their lights and everything work, but Alan, there's nothing simple about the grid.
Well, there's not. You know, people describe it as one of the most complex machines in the world. And it's had, you know, more than a century of development to get it to this point. And we're constantly upgrading it, trying to make it better, more robust. And, you know, with modern technology, there's a tremendous opportunity to make it more effective, to make it more robust, make it more reliable, and be more interactive. You know, we've always looked at electricity as being a one-way proposition. A customer turns on their lights, electricity gets delivered. Now we're looking at two-way power flow. You know, the customer's participating in the process as well.
Clay, what does this song remind you of?
Well, first of all, I just love to hear the Rocket Man, Elton John, anytime I can. But yeah, the same thing. I think, you know, the reliability. Don't let the sun go down on us. We want to nourish this solar revolution, this renewable energy revolution. And thankfully, we've got good utility partners. We've got a constructive commission. We've got other parties that are interested from an economic development standpoint to try to make sure we continue to do this the right way and make sure that people have power when they turn the light on.
How can folks find out about the Georgia Association of Manufacturers?
You can go to our website at www.gamfg.org. We're also very active on LinkedIn. You can email me directly at cjones@gamfg.org if you're interested in finding out more. We have members that are not only manufacturers, but also industries that support manufacturing can join as well.
And there you have it. Alan, thanks for being a co-host today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And Clay, thanks for being
on. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, Tim Eccles. Hope you have a great weekend. You've been listening to Energy Matters.
Logan Booker here, producer of Energy Matters, and I want to tell you about the Advanced Power Alliance. For more than 20 years now, the Advanced Power Alliance has been leading the energy transition in America's traditional energy states. They advocate for wind energy, solar power, and energy storage, all while partnering with traditional resources to ensure that America has abundant, affordable, cleaner energy to power our homes, our lives, as well as our economy. With the growth of solar and advanced storage and power generation technologies, every state now has the opportunity to be a leading energy state. Advanced Power Alliance is proud to partner with the Georgia Large Scale Solar Association and work with the Public Service Commission, Georgia Power, and their customers as Georgia continues to be one of America's leading renewable energy states. You can learn more about the Advanced Power Alliance at poweralliance.org. That's poweralliance.org.
Having a family member or close friend in crisis is something we have all experienced. North Point Christian Counseling can help. Whether it's marriage counseling or a loved one struggling with abuse or addiction, North Point Christian Counseling has counselors in Macon, Athens, Kennesaw, and Albany to help bring healing and recovery. To find out more, call 478-973-9358 or find them online at northpointcounseling.org. That's 478-973-9358 or northpointcounseling.org.